Eternal Father, Lord, we thank you for your blessing this morning, Lord. Thank you for your mercies anew to us again today. Lord, we do pray, Lord, soften our hearts, Lord, as we listen to your word, Lord. Lord, we just want to lift up Junior to you, Lord, as he brings forth your word. Just fill him with your spirit, Lord. Just edify the words that come out of his mouth, Lord, whatever it may be. Lord, just give him peace and calmness, Lord. Lord, we do ask that your Holy Spirit would just minister unto each one of us, Lord. I pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Thank you.
Good morning. So beautiful outside again this morning. Snow makes me happy. I'm not sure about you guys, but it does me. All right, so you're going to have to imagine with me a little bit. On December 7th, 1941, exactly 84 years ago today, imagine you're in Hawaii on the island of Oahu, and it's early in the morning, about 7 o'clock, and you're out taking a morning walk, and not many people are up, you know, it's Sunday morning, and maybe there are some early people up eating breakfast or going about things, and you go walking down to the harbor, and you see all the massive ships, sorry, you see all the big warships and all the airplanes, and you kind of feel proud a little bit. You see all these amazing things that we Americans have, and the birds are probably singing, and the sun just came up, and it's just a fresh, beautiful morning. And then in the back of your mind, you hear this sound. This low droning sound. At first it doesn't really register, but after you're walking around for a while, you suddenly start thinking, what is that? And it keeps getting louder and louder. And finally you see a whole massive fleet of airplanes coming toward you across the mountains. And you're like, what? What are the Americans, what are they flying on a Sunday morning for? And they keep coming closer, and before you know it, you realize what it is. You're being attacked. And you're taken by surprise, and we all know what happened that morning. The whole harbor, Pearl Harbor, was destroyed. And 2,403 Americans were killed. And we look at that, and that's a pretty big tragedy. But there's something else that happened that morning. I'm going to read this little article. Something that happened that maybe could have prevented this surprise attack. George Elliott Jr. and Joseph Lockard, both privates, had just finished their shift manning the radar on that Sunday morning in the mountains of Oahu and were waiting to be picked up for breakfast. But Elliott, an inexperienced radar operator, asked to practice for a few more minutes while they waited. So a radar, this was like one of the first radars they had. They had this little office and a tower. And then they had this screen. It looked similar like a clock. It was this round, a round screen with the arm on it, kind of like a hand on a clock. This arm goes around. And on this screen, it's a map of the oceans and the mountains around them. So that's what they were watching, just to see if there's anything approaching. At 7:02 a.m., Elliott and Lockard stared at the screen in stunned amazement. As in Elliott's words, there appeared the largest blip ever either of us had ever seen. So a blip is when the radar spots an object. You'll see an object on there. They call it a blip. Believing the blip to be a large group of aircraft approaching from the east, Elliott, despite his companion's objections, phoned in a warning to the Army Information Center. According to Elliott, the lieutenant on duty told them, "Don't worry about it." The lieutenant thought the planes were American B-17 bombers. It wasn't until later that morning, when Elliott and Lockard arrived back at their base for breakfast, that they learned the significance of what they had observed. The first wave of Japanese bombers attacked Pearl Harbor at 7:55 a.m., nearly an hour after Elliot and Lockard saw the radar blip. Elliot would later recall that it was a series of errors, including the overlooked warning that caused Pearl Harbor to turn so tragic. He had a feeling of frustration that if the warning had been heeded, they could at least have gotten planes into the air and lives could have been saved. So a title for my little message here is Heed the Blip in Your Radar. So we have the Bible. And in a way, the Bible is kind of like a radar. There are many warnings in the Bible. And we can see what will happen if we don't heed to these warnings. And it's so full of warnings. And I picked out a few. A lot of them, they pretty much explain themselves, but I might comment on a few of them. So warnings in Scripture. Then I'm going to talk about the consequences of not taking heed, and then the blessings for those that do take heed. So the first one is in Deuteronomy 11, verse 16. It says, "Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them." We might think, well, what do you mean other gods? We don't worship other gods. But there are many, many little things that can easily turn us aside, and we start worshiping them, and then before you know it, we're deceived. They can become gods in our lives. They might seem like small things, but if it's taking our attention from God, that becomes a god in our life. Joshua 22, verse 5. "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." And this diligent means like wholly and speedily. Give all your heed to do these commandments that Moses gave to the children of Israel, but they apply to us too. It's to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, to keep his commandments. And there are so many commandments in the Bible. And we're commanded to keep them. And to cleave unto them, hold on to them. There are some things that we hold on to, like they're really dear to us. And it says that these commands, we need to cleave unto them, hold on to them. And then we need to serve him with all our heart. Thank you. And with all our soul. Not just some of our heart, some of our soul, but all of it. That is a commandment for us. We need to take heed to this. In Joshua 23:11, this one's about the same. It says, "Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God." And I think it's very important, because they keep re-mentioning this, that we love the Lord our God. It's so easy just to turn aside. Before you know it, our love isn't on him. We're going to go into the New Testament, to Hebrews 2, verse 1. "Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip." We've all heard many messages with warnings and different commands. It says we need to give earnest heed to the things which we have heard, the things which we know are right. We need to give all our attention and all our heed to those things. Then in 3 verse 12, "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God." In essence, unbelief is a stubborn refusal to trust in the truthfulness of God's word. It is a grave sin because it leads us away from God. God's word is all truth. And if we are stubborn and don't want to believe it, that is a grave sin and it's going to lead us away from God. Because everything in the Bible is true. When we refuse to believe it, we're going to fall away very quickly. Hebrews 3, verse 15 now. While it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. I remember years ago, before I was converted, sorry, Mom, I want to talk about you. Mom often used to tell me not to wait too long to give my heart to the Lord. And that's my warning to all of you in here that aren't converted. Do not wait too long, because there is this one second in your life that's coming towards you that it's going to be too late. You go past that second, it's too late. It says, don't harden your heart. If you hear his voice today, do not harden your heart. I used to think that, you know, someday I'll be in an airplane and all of a sudden we're going to crash and I'll have plenty of time to give my heart to the Lord while we're going down to our death. But I think it's safe to say none of us are going to die in an airplane. Most deaths happen quickly. There's more of a chance you're going to die in a car accident. And there will be no time to reach out to God. So now is the time to come to Christ. You can't come to him in the past, and we're not promised a future. So now, right now is the time. 1 Peter 5:8. Here he's warning us to be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And vigilant means to keep awake and watch. There's no time to be foolish and sleeping. We need to be sober and on guard at all times, because if we let a little bit of room for Satan, he's going to take it and he's going to devour us. He has no care about us. Now, the consequences of not taking heed, and there's pretty much just, overall, there's like one consequence. But I have a couple verses. So go back to Hebrews 2, verses 2 and 3. We read 1. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, so if the things that the angels talked about, if those things are true, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. So back in the children of Israel, in their time, everything they did that was against God, they received a punishment. It seems like right away. It says, if that happened to them, how are we going to escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The salvation that we have is way greater than what they had. They had to do sacrifices. They couldn't openly just talk to God and have them invite him into their heart. But God, he died for us. That is a great salvation compared to the old law and the things they had to do. So how are we going to escape if we neglect that? So I believe one of the consequences is death and hell. We're not going to escape if we neglect that salvation. And then in Matthew 25, verses 41 to 46. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment. So the consequences of not taking heed to those warnings is everlasting punishment and separation from God. And that's pretty sobering this morning. It seems like it could be just a small thing, but if we're not taking heed, it's very serious. And I have some verses on the blessings for those that take heed. Now, if we read the first part of this chapter, 34 to 40, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. And on 46 it says, But the righteous into life eternal. So one of the blessings of taking heed, we get life eternal, and it also says we have an inheritance with him. It's eternal rest with Christ. John 14:23. He was talking to Judas here. Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and he will come unto him and make our abode with him. So if we love God and keep his commandments, we're going to have fellowship with Christ. And he's going to come unto us and he's going to comfort us and live with us. And that's pretty beautiful. In Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shall he be, and it shall be well with thee. So if we fear the Lord and walk in his ways and take heed to those warnings, it says we're going to be happy, and it's going to be well with us. It's going to be well with our soul. And I'm sure there's so many more promises in here, but I just picked out a few. I have a couple more verses here in closing. In 2 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Now, can we say that? That we fought a good fight and we've finished our course and kept the faith? Sometimes it seems hard. But it's going to be worth it because it says, Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love is appearing. So that's another promise for us. We're going to have a crown of righteousness. So yeah, as we go about our lives, let's just remember to take heed to those things that are warned in the Bible, those things that God warns us about. It's kind of like a radar. We can see what's going to happen if we don't. Because we don't need to end up being a tragedy how Pearl Harbor ended up. We can have rest with Christ. So God bless you.